This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's bring in Paul Emmick, shall we?
Need the latest news and analysis on your green and gold? Well, we better call Paul.
Green and Gold analyst Paul Emmick is brought to you by Sprinkler Fitters Local 183, protecting life and property in Wisconsin since 1906. For career opportunities, go to sprinklerfitters183.org.
Paul Emmick, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Paul, how you doing today, man?
Well, is there anything football related to even talk about today? It's like there's almost no football news, right?
There is nothing but football news between now and the end of the season at this point, I would assume. We can squeeze in some bucks every now and then. Maybe the Brewers make a big deal, but it is all Packers all the time as they get ready to take on the Seattle Seahawks. I asked this question, and I'm going to post it on Facebook as well, but if the Packers get a win this weekend, how far does that go in exercising some of the demons from the 2014 NFC Championship game?
5% of them. I don't know. Like, that's an NFC Championship game where you had a 99% chance to win, to go to the Super Bowl. You were in the midst of the McCarthy-Rogers thing, and who knows how differently those next 3 years would have gone, and would Mike McCarthy be a Dallas Cowboy, or would the Packers have gone on to win that Super Bowl, and then he would get a huge contract extension, and then Rogers and him would have, you know, been on a better page for the next few years. I mean, there were so many things that changed in everybody. You know, Rodgers, McCarthy, all Brandon Bostic's life. You know, so many people's lives and the franchises in general with the Packers, and now the Cowboys have the new coach, partially, I think, as a result of how everything fell apart in Seattle. So, you know, winning this game in Lambeau Field against a banged-up Seattle team that's down to its fourth-string running back and bringing back Marshawn Lynch from retirement. And, I mean, Russell Wilson looks great, but the rest of the Seahawks team is, and DK Metcalf is proving why he was supposed to be a first-rounder in the first place before he somewhat unexpectedly dropped to the second. But it's just not as good of a Seahawks team as what they were in 2014. It's not as good of a Packers team, I don't think, either. I mean, I think that's fair to say on both ends. But, you know, Seattle coming off that win, which was, you know, kind of like what a lot of people have said about a lot of Packers wins this year. Seattle beating a backup quarterback, a 40-year-old backup quarterback, you know, for that game, you know, was it really all that impressive? Probably not, but they won, and they won ugly, or whatever terms people want to use. So I don't really think I don't really think if they beat Seattle this Sunday that it makes up for anything that happened 5 years ago, but certainly puts them on the right track to get a Super Bowl this year, which obviously they fell short of 5 years early.
We're going to talk about this tomorrow, but give me the weakest link for the Green Bay Packers going into this contest on Sunday.
I mean, two come to mind, but for me, it's the pass catchers. You know, when your second and third best pass catching options are running backs, Aaron Jones and Jamal, I mean, if I could throw to only three players all game, you said you only get, I would say, Davante Adams, Aaron Jones, Jamal Williams, like that, you know, and that's, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to have running backs who are dynamic in that sense. But the fact that, you know, the pass catchers, and that's because you have to be inclusive of tight ends as well as the wide receivers, you know, can Seattle scheme to, like, make a Valdes-Scantling or a Jimmy Graham or an Alan Lazard, who's been impressive, but, I mean, you're talking about, you know, a guy that, you know, needed multiple injuries just to get on the field, you know, 2 or 3 months ago. So a lot to prove, obviously, even for an Alan Lazard. Can Seattle do enough to take away the main options? And so, excuse me, there are things defensively that I think could cost the Packers in this game, especially their middle-of-the-field pass defense. But it's not like Seattle has that dominating middle-of-the-field pass catcher. It's not like they're going to go send out a George Kittle, who's just going to dominate the middle of the field. Seattle doesn't have that. So I think if there's one thing that, you know, is the, for me, the thing to watch, the difference between the win and the loss, the weak spot, as you said, is there anybody that's not Davante Adams, Aaron Jones specifically, who can catch a pass and make a play, because for obviously most of this season, no one else has really done that consistently.
The offense is probably going to be the most scrutinized between now and Sunday, and all the talk of we talked a lot about it with Aaron Rodgers last week. And this is the question that was posed to me. I'll pose it to you. Do you think that we give Rodgers a pass in Wisconsin, or do you think we're too hard on Rodgers because we're closer to the situation here in Wisconsin?
Yeah, I mean, I think the national media would tell you that Rodgers isn't as good as what I think average Packer fan would tell you. You know, if you look at some of these lists that, you know, ESPN did theirs, and there were a couple others, and Bill, we talked about it last week, heading into the weekend of games, and Rodgers being ranked as, in one list, the 11th best quarterback of the 12 playoff quarterbacks. Another, I think, had him 8th. You know, that's a pretty negative story. Now, wait, do we know who the announcers are for Sunday night? Has that broadcast crew been announced?
I don't know. What is the game on?
It should be Buck and Aikman, because that's the only Fox broadcast.
Yeah, right. Because you've got ESPN, NBC, CBS, and Fox all broadcasting games. So if it's Fox, it'll be Buck and Aikman.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I think, like, so I only asked that just to clarify, because it's like when, I think when Buck and Aikman come on the air, they're going to, of course, be more positive and glowing because, you know, they're game announcers. But I think when you look at, like, the analyst types, the type who put together the lists of the 12 best playoff quarterbacks and things like that, I mean, there's some negativity around it. And I still think, and there are people, Packers fans, who just, you know, Rodgers is the greatest. But, Bill, there are Packers fans who really don't like him. You know, and it's a mixed bag, but I think the majority, and I think even that poll that I did a week ago kind of proved that most people are somewhere in the middle. But I think when you're talking about, like, national commentators, play-by-plays, and Buck and Aikman and these guys, they're going to speak a little bit more positively, but I think the, you know, the dot-com analysts and maybe some of the more breakdown network shows like an NFL Network have really been, I think, quite critical. So I'm wondering if the national narrative has spun more negative than the local narrative.
I think that a lot of people are looking at Aaron Rodgers, maybe the numbers. We talked about it on Friday with Mason Crosby, and he said, look, if Aaron Rodgers isn't putting up Aaron Rodgers' numbers because he set the bar so high, then everybody wants to know what's wrong with Aaron, and is he on the decline? He feels very strongly, obviously, about his guy, but is it just as simple as looking at the numbers and going, you know what, he's not having the same type of statistical year as he's had in the past, or are we looking beyond that going, man, the last time we saw him play was a really poor first half of a ball game, whether it's timing or not. He was overthrowing guys, and he either overthrew or underthrew guys for a career high and misses. So Maybe that's just the reason we're looking at this in a different prism, so to speak.
Yeah, I don't. For me, it's not a numbers thing. It's not a statistics thing, because I think had his most recent game been what he did against the Oakland Raiders in October, with perfect passer rating, people would be feeling a heck of a lot better. But I think because the most recent taste in our mouths is the one that we saw with Rodgers in Detroit, it's like, you know, what's wrong with this guy? So I do think there's some recency bias to the, you know, to the conversation, no matter what side of the conversation that someone might be on. But I do think it's a thing where, you know, the eye test tells you that you want to talk about, you know, the 2014, January of 2015 NFC Championship game, you know, versus now, is Rodgers the same quarterback now that he was in that game 5 years ago? I mean, no. And I know Rodgers has said, like, you know, I've put up plenty of stats, and he said this earlier this year, I've put up plenty of stats in my career, and now I just want to win.
Right.
I mean, that was a really interesting glance into maybe the way that Rodgers used to view himself or, you know, his legacy and all of these other things, which I'm surprised he admitted that in that way, because I don't think that's a great thing to position yourself as in the public eye from a PR perspective. Like, oh, so you did only used to care about passer rating and other stats. But I think part of that is because I think he knows that, as great as I think he still is, I still think he's, you know, a top 10 quarterback in the NFL when he's right, which, of course, in Detroit he certainly was not. When he's right, he's still one of those guys that can go win you a game. But I don't think he's capable of being, you know, the reason, right? Like, where on a consistent basis he's going to give you what he gave you in October against the Raiders. So, you know, but, you know, Bill, all that's to say, and I know this isn't exactly what you asked, but it all comes back to say, it's like, I don't think this game should run through Aaron Rodgers. I think this game should run through Aaron Jones. And so if it's the pass catchers, as I mentioned earlier, when you asked me the question about what weak spot could cost the Packers a playoff game, and I said the wide receiver tight end group, like, well, yeah, but I think if the game goes the way that Matt LaFleur wanted to, my assumption is that those pass catchers won't have to be a weak spot because they should be hidden, and they could be hidden because of what the running backs are able to give you, and because it is going to probably be, a blustery, cold, as you'd expect, mid-January, early January type of game at Lambeau Field. So it's not like you're playing on a fast turf in New Orleans or you're playing in sunny weather in San Francisco or wherever else. You should probably run this game through the running backs either way. So, I mean, it should kind of be one of those things where the Tennessee Titans won on Saturday. Tannehill was fine, but they won because of Derrick Henry, and that's why they beat New England. I kind of feel like if the Packers win, whether it's not just this game, but the next game and maybe even the Super Bowl, I think it's going to be because it's going to have a very, not exactly as heavy loaded as what Derrick Henry had for the Titans, but, where Aaron Jones is sort of that guy who gets the post-game interview because he's probably what would be featured on the field.
Right. Paul, good stuff, and we're going to chat again later in the week a couple of times, and it should be a good build-up to the divisional game without a doubt, okay?
Yeah, man, sounds good. Thanks, Bill.
All right, buddy, talk to you later. There you go. Paul Immig, our Green and Gold analyst, joining us for a couple of minutes, giving us some thoughts when it comes to the quarterback, the offense, and how things need to flow for this Green Bay Packers team to get themselves a win in the divisional round against the Seattle Seahawks coming up this Sunday at Lambeau Field. Paul joins us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years they've been getting it done. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.